Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Ayin Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur on Daf Ayin Aleph 9 lines from the bottom of the Omid. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us note the Nosei, the topic heading that we have on the side, where we've written Minayin le'emurim shel chagigas tesvov. From where do we know that the Emurim is a reference to the innards of this sacrifice, the Chagiga sacrifice, that's brought on the 15th of Nisan, or the 15th of Tishrei, the Korban Chagiga, that is characteristic of the three major holidays. The term Chagigas Tesvov is used in contrast to the Chagigas Yud Dalid, a matter that we have been discussing up till now, the Chagiga that is brought on the 14th of Nisan, that accompanies a Korban Pesach, when you have a lot of people that joined the Chabura for the Korban Pesach. In this case, we're talking about the immediate references to the Chagigas Tesvov. From where do we know that that Chagiga, the standard holiday offering, which is a Korban Shlomim that the owner will eat, that the innards of it, Nifsolin Belina Miad Baboker, even though the Chagigas Tezvov, you have a 2-day time period for eating it, namely the 15th and the 16th that month of Nisan, and the intervening night, when it comes to the innards, if they have not been offered at the time you actually sacrificed the Korban on the 15th, nor offered the innards on the altar during that night, by the next morning they are nifsal, they become posel, and they cannot be put on the mizbech anymore. Nifsal and belino, lino means to stay overnight in this context, that it gets ruined, it gets posel, is rendered unfit by its not having been offered during the nighttime following the 15th of the month. So our question is, from where do we know that point of information? So now we turn to the Gemara. Omar Rav Kahana, Minayin le'emurei chagigas chamishasor, from where do we know that the emurim, the innards are specific organs and chelev of the korban, of every korban, in fact, that is placed on the mizbeach, on the altar, and burnt. So from where do we know that those innards are nifsal, belino, shenifsal and belino, that became rendered unfit if you didn't offer them up during the night, either the day of the sacrifice itself, the day of the slaughtering and the sprinkling of the blood itself, or the following night, how do we know that they become rendered unfit if they're left over till the next morning? Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Volo yolin chelev chagi ad boker v'somech le reishis," and the pasuk continues, the next pasuk continues with the word rachis. For our purposes, it's not of significance to get into what the contents of that subsequent pasuk is, but the pasuk we have at hand is v'lo yolin chelev chagi ad boker, and then right after the word boker you have the word rachis, lemeimra, to tell us the high boker, that the word boker in the pasuk v'lo yolin chelev chagi ad boker, that word boker, the morning, means the high boker equals boker rishon. It means the first morning. So that you have the day that on which you sacrificed it, the 15th of the month, the night that immediately follows, all that time you have available to offer the innards, and then the next morning, Boker Rishon, the first morning afterwards, which is in effect the 16th of the month, they are rendered unfit if you haven't offered them till then. So how do we know that boker in the pasuk v'lo yolin chelev chagi ad boker means that very first morning, the very first morning after the night? It's because you have the word rachis that follows Maskif lo Rav Yosef. Now we have a triangle marking, and on the side of the Gemara we have, under our Mivneh heading, the structural note, the triangle is featured, Shnei Lishonos, two versions, Bameh Hoysu Shelosu Shel Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef raises a question, but what exactly is his question? There are two versions that we see in the Gemara. So the first version is, Rav Yosef is bothered by using or needing the word Rashis for this purpose. So Rav Yosef says, Taimo the Kosav Rashis. The reason that we know that it's Bokeh Rishonim is because of the word Rashis. Holo Kosav Rashis. Had the Torah not written Rashis, Have Amino, I would have thought, and I would have thought mistakenly, my Bokeh, Bokeh Sheni. That when do the Emurim become Posel? On the second morning. Now on the calendar, the second morning would be the 17th of the month. So, as far as what Rav Kahan is teaching me, that without the word Rashis, I would have thought, had I just had the Pasuk saying, Ve'lo yolin chelev chagi ad boker, ad boker would have meant until, that if you have the innards left over till the 17th of the month. Now, Rav Yosef is bothered by that havamina, by even thinking that. Why? Mi iko midi. Is there anything? The boser ifso le meurta, that the meat becomes rendered unfit at the nighttime. The nighttime meaning at the night following the 16th. We know that you have 2 days to eat the meat of the Korban Chagiga. As we said, the 15th and the 16th daytime. The meat becomes unfit at the onset of the night of the 17th. So could it be that the meat, which is, we'll say, less holy than the innards go on the altar for the as an offering to the Almighty, the meat is eaten by people. So could it possibly be that the meat, which is of a less holy significance, would be rendered unfit earlier than the innards? Reading this in the words, Mi komidi de boser ifsolei mi urta, that the meat would become rendered unfit at the night. The night is specifically the nighttime of the 17th. The emurim ad safra, and the innards would become unfit only later, namely in the morning, the next morning, the morning of the 17th. When we speak about day and night, we often refer to the date starts at that night. So the 17th starts at the nighttime, at which point the meat definitely becomes unfit. And according to the Havamina, without the word Rashis, I would have thought that the innards become pusel later, only by the next morning. That can't be. Omar Lei Abaye. Abaye challenges this presentation of Rav Yosef. He says, Alo Malo, why not? We have a precedent for this. Vahare Pesach le Rebbe Elozer ben Azaria. The Korban Pesach, according to the Tana, Rebbe Elozer ben Azaria, the Boser Ifsolei Mechatzos, you cannot eat from the Korban Pesach after midnight. Chatzos is the midnight. Veimurim Hatzafra, and the innards of the Korban Pesach, you can offer them even beyond Chatzos till the next morning. So there is precedent for meat becoming unfit earlier than the innards. Omar Rava. So Rava enters the picture and he says, Rav Yosef hochi ko kashelei. What was bothering Rav Yosef is the following. Now here we have a very important structural note. We have a triangle number 2, but note that we have a long marking. This is a very long marking. It goes till the Mishnah on Amud Beis. So basically this whole piece of Gemara is to explain what is bothering Rav Yosef in terms of what Rav Kahana had said. So, what are we doing then? We're going to be, in effect, explaining Rav Yosef's problem. We're not going to offer solutions to it. We're just going to present what was bothering him. The Nosei topic we have on the side, and we note, Ad HaMishnah Bomid Beis, Mashmos Amilo Boker, the word Boker, when you see the word Boker, does it mean Miyad Boker Rishon? Or, Oh Boker Sheni? or the second. We started with this topic already, with the first presentation of Rav Yosef, and now we go further. Omar Rava. Rav Yosef Hochiko Kashile, we're reading that line again. Rava explains that Rav Yosef was bothered by the following. Mi iko mini, is there anything? The ilu tano labosar lo boy racious, that the tana, in other words, in a Tanaic source, when the tana wants to convey the idea of first morning, as is the case with the meat, when the tana wants to refer to a first, we'll say the morning. He doesn't use the word racious. The Rav Kahano le'emurim boi racious. And Rav Kahano is an Amora when referring to the emurim. There seems to be a need for the word racious. Now this line is vague, so let's let the Gemara clarify what is Rava's point. Rava said that when it comes to the meat, the Tana doesn't need or doesn't use the word racious, and when it comes to the Emurim, Rav Kahana feels that you need to have the word racious. So the Gemara asks, Mahi, what are you referring to? What Tana are you referring to? The Sanyos, we have a Tanaic source. The source opens with a Pasuk, and the Pasuk is talking about the Chagigas Yud Dalet, the Chagiga that's brought on the 14th of Nisan that accompanies the Korban Pesach. This is a point that you can see in Rashi toward the end of the page. But before we go on with the Gemara, let's glance at the Rashi toward the end of the narrow lines. Umi iko midi klomar ech efshulios mashmos hamikra boker sheni. How could it be that the word boker without the word racious would imply the second morning? V'ho anan chazinon tano demas nisa deletamon. We will see a Tanaic source. That even with regard to the meat, which is a lesser holy item than the innards, lo boi racious. He doesn't require the word racious. Uboker dechsiv bei mashmalei latana boker rishon. And the word boker on its own, according to the Tana, implies the first morning. The first morning after the sacrificing of the animal. Rav Kahana beimurim de chamiro kedushasayu, and Rav Kahana, with regard to the innards that have a higher level of sanctity, lo mashmalei boker dechtiv gabayu boker rishon below rishis. And yet, with regard to the innards, Rav Kahana doesn't understand boker without the word rishis to mean the first morning. So now our job is to reveal the Tana that, when referring to meat, takes the word boker on its own to mean first morning. So let's see the source. Desanyo. Lo yolin min habosar asher tizbach bo'erev b'yom horishon laboker. The pasuk, as we said, is referring to the Chagigas Yudalid. That's the Korban Chagiga that accompanies the Korban Pesach. It's slaughtered along with the Korban Pesach. And it says that you shall not leave over from the meat that you offer, and it says Boerev Biyom Horishon Laboker. Limeid al Chagigas Yudalid. This shows us, the Gemara, we're continuing at the top of Omid Beis. This Pasuk shows us Shenecheles Lishne Yomim Velailo Echod, that you have the Yudalid, which is the day it's slaughtered, and Tesvav, that's the second day in which to eat it, and Laylo Echad is the night between the 14th and the 15th, the Seder night, and the Boker in the Pasuk is a reference to the 16th. We have a note here that the details of this Tanaic source will be explained later in the Gemara. However, let's continue with the source itself and then focus on the main point. So because of, we'll call it, the wordiness of this pasuk, where you see that the word boker does not appear on its own. It says that you shall not leave over the meat, asher tizbach b'erev, b'yom horishon la boker. Extra words, if you will. This wordiness conveys the idea that you've got 2 days in which to eat the korban. But we emphasize, the word boker is not appearing in isolation. We continue. O eino elo l'yom v'layla. Maybe the pasuk says you have only the day and the night in which to eat the chagigas yudalid, and the boker referred to is the boker the very next morning, the 15th. Keshu omer b'yom harishon, in that pasuk that we read at the bottom of Omer Aleph, you didn't have the word boker in isolation, you had it together with the expression b'yom harishon, hare boker sheni amur. So by having the whole expression there, b'yom horishon la boker, that's a reference to the second morning, the morning of the 16th, with regard to this chagigas yudalid. Oh, eino elo. Now this transition in the source is not easy to understand. The Gemara will make a point of this later on, but we continue with the flow. And here it reverts back. O eino ela boker rishon. Maybe boker means the first morning after the 15th. Umo ani mekayim chagiga hanecheles l'shnei yom v'layla echad. And what about the rule that a chagiga has 2 days and an intervening night to eat it? Chutz mizu, with the exception of the Chagigas Yudalid. As we mentioned in our introduction, the Korban Chagiga is brought on all three major holidays, Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos. The Chagiga that is known to have a 2 day eating time period might very well be that Chagiga, the standard Chagiga of the three holidays. But the Chagigas Yudalid, maybe, that doesn't have a 2 day time period for eating, and it's, you have just the day you slaughtered it, the 14th, the following night, and by the 15th in the morning, that's it. Keshu oimer boi im neder oinedava. This is another pasuk, and the word im is viewed as an inclusionary expression, a riboy. Limeid al chagigas yudalid shenecheles l'shnei yomim v'laylo echad. So this shows us that you have 2 days and the intervening night for the Chagigas Yud Dalid as well. Notice the bracketed section. This bracket is very helpful in our initial read-through. We skip the bracketed section and we focus on what it says afterwards regarding the definition of Boker. What does Boker imply? Taimo Dechsiv b'yoyim horishon laboker. The reason that we establish that the meat has 2 days for eating is because, in addition to the word boker, it also said b'yom horishon laboker. The my boker boker sheni, because in that context b'yom horishon and then the word laboker, that carries me over, pushes me off one more day. Ha kol hecho dechsiv boker stamo. But if you would have the word boker on its own, boker rishon. The afagav the lo kosav bay rachis, even without the word rachis. When you see boker in isolation, as we did in the pasuk that Rav Kahana himself had cited, if you go back, he had cited the pasuk from Shmos Perikov Gimel, velo yolin chelev chagi ad boker. The word boker is by itself. There's no other phrase attached to the word boker. That would mean that in that case, the emurim become pasul by the very first morning, without the word rachis. So Rav Yosef leaves you with his feeling of difficulty with regard to that which Rav Kahana said, that in order to establish the first morning after, you needed the word rachis. Rav Yosef says, not so. Even without the word rachis, the word boker in and of itself implies the first morning. Now, the bracketed section deals with the Tanaic source that we saw and mentioned that it was not easy to understand. And So here we go with the brackets. Omar Mar, we had said in the source, and we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can see where this quote is coming from, just a few lines above. Omar Mar, the Brisa had made a turnaround and said, O Enu Ela Boker Rishon. Now, it made this suggestion right after the Brisa had proved that Boker in this particular Pasuk meant Boker Sheni. But Ho Amris, but you just got finished saying, and again, we have a little reference marker to the left-hand side of the text, the star, enables you to attach this or align this with the second line from the top. It said in the source, Kishuomer Biyom Horishon, in other words, in addition to the word Boker, Hare Boker Sheni Amur. So it's clear that the Pasuk that was dealing with the Chagigas Yudalid was telling me that you have 2 days in which to eat it, and it's the second morning after, and as we said, that meant you have the day itself, that it's sacrificed, that's the 14th, then Boker Rishon would be the 15th morning, and the 16th morning is what the Pasuk is referring to, at which point the meat becomes unfit. So once that was already established on the third line from the top, why then does the source go on to resurrect a problem or a possibility that was already rejected? Why does it go on to say, well, maybe it really means the first morning, which would mean the morning of the 15th? So the Gemara explains to re-understand the source, Hochi Komar, thusly the source is trying to say, O Eino Elo Bishtei Chagigois Akosuv Medaber. Up till now, we've been referring to the Pasuk of Bayom Arishon Laboker as referring to the Chagigas Yudalit exclusively. This latter part of the source, of the original source, is introducing a new possibility. And that is, who says that the Pasuk is referring to only one type of Chagiga? Maybe that Pasuk is referring to both Chagigas, the Chagigas Yudalit, which is unique to the Erev Pesach time period, and the other Chagiga, the standard holiday Chagiga, as it spells out, Achas Chagigas Yudalit, the Achas Chagigas Tetzvav. Chagigas Tetzvav is the standard thrice annual Chagiga offering. And as far as the time periods for them, they both have the same time period. Vezu lebokra. Vezu lebokra. Each one is mutter to consume, to eat, until its very next morning. So that the Chagigas Yudalid, you have till the 15th in the morning to eat it. You've got, once again, just to review, you have the day it sacrificed, the 14th of Nisan, and the night that follows, and it becomes Pasul Lebokra in its morning, its next morning, the 15th, and the Chagigas Tesvav would become Pasul, would become rendered unfit if you left it over till the 16th in the morning. It, once again, it was shechted on the 15th, the Chagigas Tesvav by definition. It was slaughtered, blood sprinkled on the 15th, and it becomes Pasul Lebokra its next morning, the 16th. Well, according to this statement, whenever you see a korban chagiga, basically it has just one day for being eaten. That's the suggestion. Hodar Omar. Now, the source then goes on to say, and this is a continuation of the original source, regarding this suggestion of all chagigas have only one time period for eating it, and the pasuk had Layoma Rishon Lavoker, so Layoma Rishon refers to one Korban Chagiga, and Boker refers to the other Korban Chagiga. Well, if that's the case, Hoda Omar, the source went on to reject that and says, Elo, the Kaimulon Chagiga Hanechelis Lishne Yomim Velaylo Echod. We know there's a tradition that a Chagiga has a 2 day time allotment for its consumption. Im Kain, Im Neder, Im Nedova Bemai. The Im Neder, Im Nedova, which was a Riboy, which we said was coming to include a chagigas yudalid for a 2-day time period, well, what now would in neder be referring to? What would I be doing with that pasuk? E chagigas yudalid hoksiv bo yom v'laylo. E chagigas tesvav hoksiv bo yom v'laylo. According to our suggestion, both chagigos would have had only a 1 day and the following night for eating them. What am I then going to do with the Gzeres HaKosev of Im Neder that came to be Marbe, a 2-day time period for the Chagigas Yudalid? Elo, hi, l'Chagigas Tezvov. The Posuk of Im Neder is referring to the Chagigas Tezvov 2-day time period, just like is the case with the Nidorim and Nidovas. The Heich Kulei Kra, the pasuk Ubayom Arishon Laboker, the whole pasuk is dedicated exclusively to Chagigas Yudalid, to that particular Chagiga. Limeid Chagigas Yudalid Shenecheles L'Shnei Yomim V'Laylo Echad. It teaches me that you have 2 days and the intervening night to eat it. Now, what did we make out of all of this? And we continue reading that which we already read. Taimo Dechsiv Vayom Arishon Laboker. The reason that the Chagigas Yudalid has a 2-day time period is because in addition to the word Boker, it also Bayom HaRishon LaBoker, the my Boker, Boker Sheni. Ha'kol Heichod Echsi Boker Stama. If you would have a posuk that would have Boker by itself, as we had in the Rav Kahana posuk, which dealt with the Emurim, the Chelev Chagi Ad Boker, that's Boker Stama. Boker Stama means by itself. Boker Rishon, the Afagav de Lo Kosav Bey Rishis, even out without the word Rishis, contrary to the way Rav Kahana had learned the pasuk. As we said, we just finished explaining what Rav Yosef had found difficulty with Rav Kahana's presentation, and that's it. That's the answer. That shows you what his difficulty was, and we're not here to provide any. The Gemara is not going to provide any defense for Rav Kahana. We now continue with the Mishnah. This Mishnah deals with improper shchitos of Korban Pesach and other korbanos that are done on Shabbos. Basically, if you did something improper, so that would be a reason to mechayev the person. If he did so mistakenly, he would be chayev a Korban Chatos. What we'll try to discover, are there situations where even though he did a major Shabbos violation, and he might be exempt? The Mishnah. HaPesach sheshochtoi sheloi lishmoi b'Shabbos. Korban Pesach, which was shechted without the focused or specified Pesach intention. In other words, you shecht it with a different korban in mind. You shechted it, the korban pesach, as if it were a korban shlomim, and you did that on Shabbos, which was the 14th of Nisan. Chayav olav chatas. That is considered a total violation of the laws of Shabbos, and if it's done b'shogeg, unwittingly, so that demands the bringing of a sin offering. It should be pointed out, and we've said this in the past, that a Korban Pesach is considered unfit, contrary to the way we approach other sacrifices. The Korban Pesach, along with a sin offering, if you do them shelo lishmo, it's a total ruination. So hence, a Pesach that shechted shelo lishmo, you've basically done nothing by way of the sacrifice, hence you've simply violated Shabbos. And the violation, of course, is the shechita, which is an av melacha, a primary prohibited Shabbos activity. Ushar kol hazvachim sheshochton l'shem Pesach. Other sacrifices that were earmarked for whatever they were designated, and you shechted them on Shabbos with a Pesach intention. Im einon ruyin chayav. If they are unfit to have been a Korban Pesach. For example, you shechted an animal that was dedicated as a shlomim, but it happened to be a calf. A calf is not the type of animal that one can bring as a Korban Pesach. That would be an example of something that's not roi. Or a two-year-old sheep. That is something that's unfit. Or a female goat or sheep. Unfit. So they're einon ruyin. So if a person slaughtered a sacrifice that had been designated for whatever it was, and he did it with a Pesach mindset. So if the korban was unfit, in other words, like in our example, we'll just choose one of those examples. He shechted a calf that was dedicated to be a korban shlomim, and he said, "I'm shechting this calf as a korban Pesach." That's an example of einon ruyin. He is chayav. Chayav means he would have to bring a sin offering. V'im ruyin hein. If, however, you had a half-year-old sheep that was dedicated as a korban shlomim, and it's now the 14th of Nisan, that is a Shabbos, and he shechted it with the mindset that it will serve as a korban Pesach, and the animal objectively is fit to be a korban Pesach. The only problem is that it was sanctified as something else. Rabbi Elazar mechayev chatas. Rabbi Elazar says, look, you did something wrong, and it's therefore considered a Shabbos violation. Rabbi Yeshua poter. Rabbi Yeshua says he is exempt. Now, Rabbi Elazar says he's chayev, basically, even though it's the time for a Korban Pesach, and it's the right animal to be a Korban Pesach, and it's nevertheless a mistake, because the animal is designated, was sanctified as something else. So this is called Toeh Bidvar Mitzvah. He's making a mistake within the realm of a mitzvah, the mitzvah being the Korban Pesach. Rabbi Yeshua, he exempts. And why is that? So Rashi explains, using the terminology we just used, we can see the Rashi about seven lines under the Gemara text, Rabbi Yeshua poter, the Kosovar. Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion, to'o bedvar mitzvah, v'osa mitzvah koldehu, someone who made a mistake within the realm of mitzvah performance and did some kind of mitzvah, because what he did was he shechted a korban shlomim. Shlomim does not need to be lishma. So even though he shechted it with the wrong identity intention, the animal is not ruined, so it's a mitzvah, it's a proper sacrifice to a certain extent, and Rashi expression koldu is very very telling. He did somewhat of a mitzvah. Potter michiyuv chatos sheba, he is exempt from bringing a sin offering. V'zeh also mitzvah. Rashi explains what he meant by mitzvah koldu. What is the mitzvah? Sheikriv korban, he offered a sacrifice. V'chol azvachim shenizbu shalishmon ksherim. All other sacrifices besides the Korban Pesach and a Korban Chatos, a sin offering besides them, all other sacrifices, if done with the wrong intention, are acceptable. V'af hanishchotin l'shem Pesach. Even other sacrifices that were sacrificed with a Pesach intention, Rabbi Yeshua machshilu perek tomit nishchat. Rabbi Yeshua declares them to be acceptable as a sacrifice, obviously not as a Korban Pesach. And with that, we understand Rabbi Yeshua's approach that when you make a mistake, even though it's Shabbos, you make a mistake, do a melacha, but it's within the realm of a mitzvah, and you accomplish some form of mitzvah, that is enough to exempt you from the Shabbos violation and bringing a sin offering. Amar Lei, Rabbi Elazar, you'll notice if you scan ahead in this source, you'll notice a squiggle underline appears fairly often under names, the names Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. They go at it, so to speak. They go back and forth. Amar Lei, Rabbi Elazar, who is the stricter of the two opinions here, he says, Ma'im ha-Pesach shumuter l'shmo, mind you, a Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, which is a Shabbos in this case, it is kosher lishmo. If you do a proper Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach with the proper intention, it's great. That's what you're supposed to do. Kesheshino eshmo chayav. When you change it, when you do a Pesach shelo lishmo, everyone agrees, you too agree, that you will be chayav. Zvochim shehein asurin lishmon. We're talking about Shabbos. Shabbos is not a day during which one is allowed to offer other kinds of sacrifices, with the exception of the public tamid sacrifices and the public musaf and personal sacrifices are forbidden on Shabbos. So zvochem shein asurin lishman, other kinds of sacrifices that are not allowed to be done lishman, kisheshino es shmon eino din shechayev, when you change their name to something other than what they are, all the more reason you should be chayev. So Rabbi Elazar is arguing his point, making a kal v'chomer from the case of the Korban Pesach. Amar le Rabbi Yeshua lo. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. He rejects this argument. Im amris bePesach sheshineu b'davar aser. If you are trying to argue your point from the case of a Pesach done shelo lishmo, what did you do? You took the Korban Pesach and shechted it and slaughtered it for something that is not to be done on Shabbos. So therefore I understand that case is chayav. Toimar bezvachim sheshinon bedover hamutar. The case of the sha'ar zvachim, what did he do? He took another kind of Korban and shechted it with a Pesach intention. Well, a Pesach is something that's mutar to be done on that day, the 14th of Nisan, that's a Shabbos. So therefore, the case of Shar Zvachim L'Shem Pesach is a more lenient situation. So even though a Pesach done L'Shem L'Shelo L'Shmo is Chayev, and I agree with that, I don't agree with Shar Zvachim done L'Shem Pesach. Amar Lei Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar responds. Now here's a very tricky word, because in today's shiur we were using this same word to refer to something totally unrelated. But the word here is emurei tzibur. This is a reference to sacrifices that were stated in the Torah to be brought by the public-oriented sacrifice. So Rebbe Elazar says, regarding public sacrifices that are brought on Shabbos, emurei tzibur yochichu. The case of these public sacrifices will prove my point. Shehein mutaran lishman, the animal that's dedicated to be a, let's say, the korban tomid shel shachar, it's mutar on Shabbos to offer it as what it's supposed to be. V'hashoychei lishman chayav. If you shecht other korbanos with them in mind, with the you shecht another kind of korban with the emurei tzibur intention, chayav, you will agree with that's chayav. So that the fact that you have in mind shechting, let's say, the wrong korban with the right intention, or the intention, we'll say, the wrong korban with an intention that is acceptable in the context of Shabbos, you see, that doesn't save the day. So same thing with Shar Zvachim, personal Korban Shlomim, that you shechted having a Pesach in mind, even though it's the 14th of Nisan and it's the time to do Pesach, it doesn't help, just like over here, shechting other Korbanos with the public sacrifice in mind. Amalei Rabbi Yeshua Loi. Rabbi Yeshua rejects this, and he says, Im Amris Beimurei Tzibur. If you're saying that a person's chayef for shechting other korbanos with an emurei tzibur intention, I understand there he's chayef sheyesh lahem kitzva. This is a very important expression, and Rashi explains it elaborately. But for the time being, we'll just give a simple translation. By the emurei tzibur, they have a fixed amount. In other words, there's one korban tamid shel shachar offered. And how in the world could someone make a mistake regarding some other sacrifice and shechting that other sacrifice with a korban tamid shel shachar in mind when there's only one? There's no reason for you to have made a mistake about that. Toimar bePesach shein lo kitzva. Should you say the same thing about a mistake concerning a korban Pesach? Everyone around you, what's the 14th of Nisan? It's in the afternoon of the 4th, there are hundreds of thousands, if not more, Korban Pesachs being processed. Ain't no kitzvah, there's no fixed amount. It's very easy for a person to be sucked into what everyone around him is doing. And therefore, says Rabbi Yoshua, shechting other sacrifices with a Korban Pesach intention in mind is a a legitimate type of mistake, and therefore he is called Toya B'dvar Mitzvah and will be exempt. There's a brief bracketed section following the brackets. The Gemara continues with halachas regarding the Korban Pesach. In the brackets, there's another reference. You can see an inverted triangle. Another reference to shechting other korbanos with an emurei tzibor intention. And you can see the triangle is inverted because it's a shita that's just the opposite of what we just got finished saying. Before the brackets, we saw the opinion of Rebbe Lazar that one who shechs other korbanos with a emurei tzibor mindset, he is chayav. Now the brackets, Rabbi Meir Omer, af hashochet l'shem emurei tzibor, poter. One who shechts other sacrifices with the intention of it being one of the public sacrifices, he in fact is exempt. But Rabbi Meir represents a unique opinion with regard to this. Rabbi Lezer as well as Rabbi Yeshua would not agree. We continue. Shochto, a person shechted on Shabbos, a korban Pesach, sheloi lo'ichlov, v'shelolim nuyov, la'reilim l'tmeim. Here he has in mind people that are that he shouldn't have in mind, and the korban Pesach, the shechted, for example, shelo lo'ichlov, he shechts it for people that cannot eat it, someone who's old, someone who is sick, so. That kind of Korban Pesach is considered unfit. Therefore, what was your Shabbos action? You did a worthless slaughtering on Shabbos. You're not going to be able to eat the meat. It's a Korban that's posel. So that results in what the Mishnah says, Chayev. It's a Chayev, means Chayev. He's guilty of having violated Shabbos and will have to bring a Korban Chatas. As well as the case of someone who shechs a Korban Pesach, Shelo Lemnuyah, people that were not assigned, did not join to form a group, to form a Chabura for the eating of this Korban Pesach. La'reilim, shechting the Korban Pesach, having in mind people that are uncircumcised, who likewise are unfit for eating the Korban Pesach. La'tameim, people that are ritually unclean. Another scenario, though, is where he mixes his mindset. He has in mind that he's shechting the Korban Pesach for an old person and a young person. People that were, he has in mind the people that formed the group, and he throws in mind other, he adds to that in his mind people that are that didn't join the group. He has in mind people that are circumcised as well as the uncircumcised. Latmeim ulatorim, a mixed group of people that are both tomei, some of them are tomei and some of them are tohor. Potter. So for having this kind of mindset, even though it's not the right thing to do, nevertheless the korban is not rendered posel, and therefore doing this on Shabbos does not result in a need to bring a sin offering. Shochtei v'nimso ba'al mum, chayav, if he shechts a korban pesach and he discovers it being blemished. A blemish inevitably is something that's external. So our point is that this is not considered something that is beyond his control. He should have checked it out more carefully. If he didn't do that, so he's called shogeg, and as a result of doing something by mistake, but something he had control over, he is chayav to bring a korban chatas. A blemished animal is not fit to serve as a sacrifice. Shechtei v'nimtzo treifa b'seser. He shechted the animal, and it discovered in one of the inner organs there was a hole. A hole in one of in specific inner organs can render it a treifa, which is unfit to be used as a sacrifice. However, this is something he couldn't have known ahead of time. So even though it won't be an acceptable Korban Pesach because of it being a treifa, nevertheless the person who shechted it will be exempt for having shechted this on Shabbos. Shechtei v'noida shemoshu habaylim es yodam o shemesu o shenitmu. A person shechted the Korban Pesach and afterwards he discovered that the people who had joined the group had withdrawn from the group before its it's shechita, and they joined another group. Or he discovered that the owner of the korban had died, or that they had become tomei and hence would not be obligated in the korban pesach on the 14th of Nisan. So potter, the person who shechted is exempt mineshe shochad b'rishus, because at the time that he shechted, he didn't know all of that information, and as Rashi says, and he wasn't expected to make a last minute check either. So he was acting within good faith, within good reason, and hence, even though it results in being an unfit sacrifice, he nevertheless is exempt from having been considered a Shabbos violator. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.